This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, the following is a special sneak preview of the new Gloves Off podcast, which is an unfiltered look at the week's events in goalkeeping that's hosted by world-renowned GK analysts Bill Reno and Saskia Weber. And if you want to make sure that you never miss an episode of any of our fantastic new shows, all you have to do is subscribe to the Union GK app. For more info, go to www.theuniongk.com or download the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making Gloves Off possible, and on with the show.
All right, hey, we're back with the world traveler here, who's been all over the country, and we have a very secret Michael Mike.
He's sitting right here.
He's filling in. He's a... You know, he's the person behind everything. You guys don't really see him on this, but he's keeping us all standing on this. So
there.
That's right. Yeah, how are we doing with all that traveling? You've been everywhere, it seems. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, North Carolina, TSC was great. Back from there, and then I have two games. I got a call Wednesday, so I got to head out to Vista in Florida, and then back. Then back to Florida. Then there's a lot. There's a lot going on, but it's all good stuff, you know.
No, it's good. It's good. It's funny seeing. Wait, you mentioned TST there. For something in my head, I didn't put two and two together where I knew Angel City was going out there, but for some reason, right up until the start of the tournament, I thought you were going to be with the U.S. women because they had all these, you know, former players coming back. I think Jill Lloyd, I don't know if she got on the field, but she was listed as
had no plan to.
Okay.
She was just down in case something happened. Gotcha. Like, technically, I looked at Kat Hess, our goalkeeper, and I was like, you better not let anything happen to yourself. And then I put on the whiteboard, like, I put our lineup for Angel City, and, like, I put, their replacements or subs. Under it, and they put Saskia Weber under Kat, and I was like, yeah, that's not happening.
Someone asked me recently, is like, hey, do you play anymore? And I'm 35, and I said, I have it kind of in my head where I have like 100 to 200 more dives in my life, if that. I think like maybe 50 to 100 is just, I have to like use it for like, okay, this is a moment that's worth throwing my body on the ground.
I have one dive left.
Yeah, you start thinking about these things. Yeah, I played in an alumni game, and we had, when I was at GW, we had a player that come back who had played from the very first team. And I thought, okay, I'll use some of my dives here. You know, she's running around the field. Like, I can't not also put myself out there. So
And to answer your question, I was supposed to go with the U.S. team, and then a month ago, Angel City asked me to coach and take their team. Angel City owes me a paycheck now because of what just happened.
Okay.
No, it was a great experience. And actually, Jill asked me, she texted me and said, will you coach me for next year? I said, absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think she's joking.
I was trying to find the actual, this is kind of a dumb question, but it's going somewhere, but I was trying to find the actual goal size that y'all were playing with. How tall
was it? It is 16. I will give you the exact specs.
Okay.
It is, because I sent it. Talk amongst yourselves.
I'll pull up. This is the bracket here in the play-in. So we had two groups of four here. Very close competition all in all. But I was going back to you, and we'll show some clips here. I was trying to figure out, like, how big is that actual goal? Because I feel like that's a lot.
Hold on. It is 16.5 by 6. But it's small. But, you know, it makes sense. The bottom line is you can't have a full-size goal.
Right, right.
Like, you can't. I mean, people are shooting on you basically. The box is 12 yards. Yeah. You know, the PK is basically shot from the top of the box, the penalty spot. But the goal is the right size, male or female. Like, first of all, male or female is a dumb comment because you don't have a different size for females. But right. it's legit the right size. And it is interesting, though, because when you saw the U.S. scoring, I love that you're bringing up the U.S. Angel City game, the one we lost.
Yeah, well,
we won two other games. We won two other games, and you're playing this one.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. Part of the reason I want to pull this up because I've seen Cap play, and the reason I was asking about the goal size is because I feel like for a keeper like her, it's the wrong goal. You know, it's very like. And this is why Lindsay did really well with the U.S. team is like it fits her game. She's quick. She can cover a lot of ground. But those taller keepers have a lot of power. Like these smaller goals, like they're tough to play with.
Right. You want a pure shot stopper goalkeeper. You want that. I wouldn't say. I would say Kat did. If you watch the other two games, did do really well. I think against the U.S., the U.S. was shooting from distance. I think that was where she had a hiccup in a sense, like not being quick enough to get low to the ground for those wide shots because they're from so tight. I think when you looked at the Canada street ball team, their keeper had to be 6'2", I think. And I told our team, I was like, oh my God, please just shoot the ball low. Like, I'm like, there's no way. I don't care how quick you are, how good you are at 6'2", you are getting down that fast from that far away. From that short distance. And that was the fact. And I do think it benefits the smaller, more explosive, lower to the ground goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know, but in Kat's defense, she had the U.S. game was not a good game for her, but the other two games against Rexman and against Streetball Canada, she was phenomenal.
Well, when I was looking back at the, I'll pull back up here. When I was looking back at the standings here, like Wrexham goes 0-3, but they're not even getting blown out. Like that's a tight group, and the other group is tight as well.
Well, you don't really get blown out. You do and you don't. You always have to remember that you go into goal score time, and basically that third period. So if the score is 3-1, right? You go into that overtime period where the winning goal is 4. So the winning score is 4. So the other team can score 3 goals and win the game, or you can score 1 goal and win the game, which makes everything really exciting. It's like that golden goal scenario. It makes it. And then here against Streetball Canada, this was great. So Kat, this is where Kat took a little bit of a brain fart on me. We were playing 3v3 and was it 3v3? Yes, 3v3, but that includes a goalkeeper. Okay, so technically two field goals. But the teams would pool their goalkeepers like ice hockey, right? So all of a sudden it's 3 field players against 1 goalkeeper, and I couldn't pool Kat because we weren't getting possession of the ball, right? So then all of a sudden Kat makes a save, and you got this kid hauling to the sideline. So she could get off to get the goalkeeper in because obviously you're going on a 65-yard field. Now you're on the attack. You can slow it down. I'm like, Kat, put the ball down and shoot it. Put the ball down and shoot it. There's nobody in the goal. There's nobody on that half of the field. And she was like, oh, I have possession.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm screaming, shoot the ball. And she came off. We ended up winning. But she came back off and she goes, I can't believe I totally blanked. And all I thought to myself was all I had to do is roll the ball to myself and hit a long ball and I would have won the game. I'm like, yep.
Well, that was kind of a weird thing watching the tournament. I obviously didn't catch every game, but you see, I mean, with so many games, you know, the heat's there, you start doing these like removing of players, like you're starting to get so exhausted, like that mental side, you start leaning back on like what's comfortable, what's normal. And so for a goalkeeper, you know, you think of, into the game. It's been difficult. Like, it's totally expected to see a goalkeeper just hold the ball
and slow it down.
You know, and so it's like, that's a good example. But there's just so many moments I was like, oh, I can see what that player's thinking. But
right, even the winning goal for the United States, the winning goal against North Carolina, that back pass, that was a normal back pass into space. Had you had the seven players on the field, had you had everything, then that's what the right pass. But she passed it into space, and it was 2v2 at that point.
Yeah,
and then like right there. And then it's just it's still a good goal, but it's an easy put away. Yeah. But you can see where the fatigue runs in. Now, fatigue, yes, and I don't care. Anybody watching this, this is 3v3 times 2v2 on a 65-yard field. 65 yards. You go play 2v2 or 3v3 on a 65-yard field and see if you last a minute.
Well, and y'all played me. Did y'all ever play twice on one day or –
The first day we played twice. So the day we played the U.S., we beat Rexman that morning, and then that night we played the U.S.
Yeah. No, I think it's a cool tournament all in all. But yeah, I think outside looking in, there's just all the I like the kind of the meta shifts and what teams are trying to do and this is that, because it seems like some teams felt even more comfortable taking players off the field. Like they wanted their goalkeeper to come up. They felt good about that. Where some teams was like, no, we need to end this now. Like we can't get our goalkeeper involved as much. But we'll see where it goes for the next year. Last year, I forget the number of teams, but they had the women's division, which is awesome to see. The games were super close and competitive. And I was looking to the goalkeepers, and so I'll just name a few here. I think it was Audrey Baldwin on the street baller team. But she's a former pro. Brittany Wilson, NWSL. Lauren Kellett just left TCU. Barbara's played for the Brazilian national team. Kat has, and Addie Gay, still a pro. Lindsay Harris just finished up playing in Saudi Arabia. Like, you've got these goalkeepers who have played at a good level. So it'll be really interesting to see, especially with the purse of $1 million. I mean,
I'm interested to see how it changes next year. I think a lot of teams didn't know really what it was about. They weren't involved last year like the U.S. women were. Obviously, we played in the men's division and stuff. We knew what we were getting. They knew what, and I knew what we were getting ourselves into. I think now that the precedent's been set, I truly think you'll see at least 16 teams next year. I think every NWSL team will have a team in there. If not, I would be shocked if the USL didn't put teams in, because this is a month and a half before their season starts. And I'm like, it would behoove you to go and play in a 7v7 tournament, send your preseason team. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see this really numbers jump. Now, with that being said, how long is this tournament going to run? Because with the field space and the times and everything like that, well, now you've got to stretch it out. If you have 48 men, if you have 42 men's teams, and let's say that many women's teams, and you're going to have to space it out or have two. You wouldn't want to do two separate tournaments because the amount of work that goes into putting this on, it's really first class. So you got to figure that out.
Well, and you mentioned the amount of work. There were so many times where they had I don't know how many cameras were out there, but they had multiple camera angles for shots. And I was just thinking I'm watching Pac-12 games, and the broadcast isn't even as good as this. It was so weird to see this is getting taken really serious. So I hope they keep the momentum. It's really tough to get momentum back after you lose it in anything in life. So I hope they get off this. So, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I know it was. It was fun to be a part of. Nah, I got to – I missed out on the million. Yeah, and we actually missed out going over the U.S. into the semifinals. Yeah. We were tied head-to-head. It was a three-way tie head-to-head. Then we went into goal differential. Then we were tied with the U.S. goal differential. Then I went into goals four, and they won more goal four. And if we were tied there, we would have had gone into a separate PK shootout.
Yeah. Oh, that would actually have been awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been kind of awesome. And Julie Ehrman was just like, let's just tell Hayo, we're just going to ask her if she wants to do the shootout. Yeah. And I was like, do it, challenge them. But they're like, why would you do that considering they're already in?
Yeah. We're not thinking that. Yeah. Well, I did want to jump over to you mentioned the USL there. These are all the goalkeepers I could find that have been announced was USL team. So that top one there, we just got cut off from that banner, but that's Carolina Ascent. So we're starting to see these signings coming out for the league. I don't have the first game date in front of me. I think it's somewhere mid-August.
I think it's like the 15th or somewhere around there.
Okay, yeah. So we're not too far away. And you know, with I think sometimes people can get critical of like, wow, they don't even have a full roster. They don't even have this. Like, what is out public is obviously different from...
Well, you're talking about a full signed roster. That doesn't mean who's in camp. Like, right. So what you're seeing out there for the public is like, oh, well, they've signed 15 players. Yeah, and there are probably another 15 in camp. And once preseason's done, they will sign the rest of their thing. So that's just who they have signed right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, these are like the for sures in.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
So I don't know how many of these names look familiar to you, but I, you know, I'm looking at this, like you've got McClellan at the top, you know.
Well, of course she looks familiar.
Yeah.
Because she went to goalkeeper you, like I did. Yeah. So.
I mean, all across, you know, I was really glad to see these names come up in the sense of I knew the names. Now, I know some people who listen or watching, like maybe don't know that Izzy Nino went from Michigan over to Australia, just finished playing there. Or maybe Sam Estrada's maybe one that you're not familiar with. And I understand that, but at the very least, you can look at their resumes and say, hey, like they all played D1 ball and they all either were playing pro or played at a good level. You know, there's something there to it. So I was happy to see these names. And in my head, like, this is about as good as it gets. Could you pull some other players from different, you know, maybe overseas, like maybe, but I think realistically for a first year league, like you're always going to look domestic with your goalkeepers. And so,
well, I think that you need, I think it's a tall order to pull for a first year league from pull somebody back from Europe. And I think that like, you're not going to get a Fallentel's choice coming back from Manchester United to play in the USL right now. It's not going to happen, you know, but what you are going to get is, like a McClellan, like Izzy, like stuff like that, that have gone, whether they've been third tier for Seattle Reign, whether, you know, wherever they are, that want to stay in the United States and know that they'll be a starter coming in and starting for the USL. And I that is what you're going to see. So I agree with you. You stay in the United States, really, for the most part, you're homegrown. Like, you know, you don't have to worry about, like, I don't know how many international spots they have. So that's a question as well. And if you're going to bring internationals in and you have goalkeepers here, that's where we always fall into that new league type of mentality. Like, well, let's just get an American goalkeeper, not use an international spot.
Yeah. No, and that's a good question. I think these are the smaller details that fans may or may not be thinking about. But when you're putting together a team, like, you have to be thinking of international spots, where the money's going, how are you supplementing players that aren't getting paid, you know, what are you
doing? That's the other thing too, yeah,
you know, housing, and there's all these little things that, like, you know, you've got some players who are willing to go across the world for pennies and they'll do it, but for most people, like, they need something that said, hey, like, you know, give me this, give me that, or I can play on this, I can play on that. You know, so it'll be really interesting to see how this all fills out. But so far, like,
well, they got a good broadcast deal. So yeah, there's a start. I mean, they have what, Peacock. So yeah, Peacock just signed them up to do everything. So, I mean, that'll go probably through Vista and stuff like that. But there you go, right there. Like, that's a bit of a hurdle. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not a $500 million broadcast deal like it was for the NWSL, but it's a start.
Yeah. Yeah,
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to set your standards appropriate for the first year. Like, you don't want it to come out and look like a Mickey Mouse organization, but you also have to think, okay, well, it's ideally going to get bigger and it's going to grow, and you can't shoot for the ceiling. Like, you've got to build into it.
Well, I think what you're going to also start to see is, we've talked about this, and I think this is stupid that if it doesn't do this, this is gloves off, so I can say that. There's got to be some crossover between NWSL and the USL. There's got to be something. Like, if you are developing the best and you want the best league in the United States here, in the leagues, plural, then your third string goalkeepers or whatever in the offseason should be, like, traded to a USL team. Yeah. and make it better, like, and get game time in. And if that means they're not back with their NWSL team until June or until May of next year, then that's what it means. But at least they're playing.
Yeah. No, I actually just saw a little different, but I saw Chris Berokas tweet about this, and he was saying how he gets annoyed when, especially when goalkeepers are playing summer league, and then they get called back for captain's practice, but like you're missing out on game time to go do like fitness, you know? Yeah. And I understand like getting with the team, there's bonding stuff, and you want to be there, and especially those newcomers, you want to make them feel at home and all that, but especially for goalkeepers, like it's so tough to get game minutes, especially for the backup. Like, you know, so it's one of these things you got to have a balance with. But yeah, if you're just having people rot on the bench, like, you know, you're not, that's not propping up your league. That's not propping up your team. That's not propping up that player. Like, you've got to get some momentum for the moment.
The only thing it does is make it better, honestly, for everybody. Yes, absolutely. Like, whoever, I wouldn't say Angelina, but if somebody is going on, but it's a tough thing, right? But your keepers, we're talking about goalkeepers, keepers have to play. That's it. And if any NWSL team is saying, well, I'm not going to let her go play for Phoenix or something like that, you're crazy. Like, because if you need to call on a hot in the playoffs when she was the third string basically for New York and need to win a championship, and you know that she played all fall, all winter, like for Phoenix Rising or something, and you know she's played in, you can lean on her, right? So that's your fault if you don't allow your keepers, or if you don't, you know, have trades or whatever you want to do. You could do with Europe, you could do with anything. Don't let your keepers ride the bench. No.
Yeah, yeah. When you say that, I wonder if I don't think I would count this edition of TST, but next year might be the first unofficial NWSL versus USL moment, because we don't have a cup, right? There's no,
right,
crazy, like there should be a collective cup.
Yeah, but how do you do it though, because of the winner from last year plays the winner from this year, like how do you do it?
You throw them all in, you say, hey, we're all a big bracket, let's go, you do March Madness. Yeah, but
like preseason for NWSL, mid-season for USL, or
I don't want to hear excuses. You gotta find solutions off this stuff.
I get it. But the NWSL will be like, well, our players were just in preseason, they have, but whatever, everybody's playing, whatever, all year.
You gotta play. I mean, you know, you look back at TST, like so this last week I ran a camp at our University of Richmond, and the last thing we did is we had a little boys group, we played the respective girls group, and we got wiped 5-2, and at the end of the game they're complaining about the girls were playing too physical, and their group was like half a year older than us on average, so that, you know, they were a little bit stronger, and we had 9-10 year olds. So I said like, look, the lamest thing you can do is have excuses after a loss. Like, you gotta look at yourself, you gotta look at your performance. So I don't, you know, you're never gonna find a perfect lineup on this stuff, but like, you've got to find, you know, some crossover, whether it's competing, because that's going to lift everyone out. You gotta find some player movement, because that's gonna lift everyone up. You start getting on the island on this stuff, like, you're not doing anyone any favors.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So,
yeah. No, I think I think that with the TST, what would be really interesting, and this is what I actually thought. So when Angel City brought me in to coach, I thought I was going to be able to take their non-travel team. Like, and I was like, sweet, you know, hand me certain people, hand me Hannah. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, absolutely. We're going to, you know, it's going to be great. Yeah. And they're like, no, you can't. And I was like, oh, but that's how it should be. And yeah. I'm like, I mean, like if I was at NWSL next summer, like, you know, you can't play scared. You can't play like, well, we don't want our players to get injured. That's ridiculous. You have to say, hey, if our non-travel team goes into this TST tournament, you know, they get played in. It's like freaking 2 days. It's like 3 days. They're playing small sided, 40 minutes, whatever, but they're playing and they can win $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it just keeps coming back to like finding actual competition. I mean, that is so hard to replicate. You might have a practice and say, all right, you know, after the next 5 minutes, whoever's winning, you know, they get out of the punishment. The losing team gets what, you know, whatever it is. That's not real competition. Like to say,
no,
like
this is real.
Yeah, yeah. If we lose, like, you know, we're done. And then also, like, there's a money incentive as well. Like, you know, like you start getting some cool points there.
I also think that keeper wise, I said, like, people are like, some keepers really thrived in this and showed. But I still got to see a keeper in a full field and in a big goal. And so this is totally different. And it's not as simple as saying, okay, so-and-so plays great in small-sided, in a smaller goal and everything. But that might not equate. And there might be a reason. So a lot of people, some people don't understand. They're like, you know, okay, let's say like Brittany did amazing. Right. So she should be playing in the NWSL. Doesn't necessarily equate. There's certain goalkeepers that are really, really good in tights and really, really good at small sided and pure shot stoppers and good like in a smaller goal. But that doesn't mean you're good with everything else on or your professional level on everything else, I should say, when it comes to full field.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And the type of shots you saw here at TST versus a real game, I mean, it's all condensed. And I think there's something to be said about a goalkeeper who can figure out those moments that it's in turmoil and there's a lot of people in the box and they're shooting from so close. Like if you can find success there, like that is a good sign, but that's only a fraction of the right. real game. So it's kind of the same thing with indoor. Like you might be a really good indoor keeper, but.
Exactly. Or futsal or something. Yeah.
Well, jumping over to the NWSL, we've mentioned the difference here. I think this will be kind of a nice transition.
I'm like, what did you pull? Tell me, because I have two clips in my head right now. Number one, Nair's corner kick, and number two, French's, I don't even know. Too soon spread block save that went under her arm.
Well, I was trying to think. It was like, well, I was thinking, I was like, well, I'm going to like show Saskia's team's losing very early on. So I was like, I'm going to get a little balance here. So I'm going to stay positive on this one here. We're going to look at Ann Kitchen Burger here with Gotham.
Burger. Sorry, Burger's legit, man.
Yeah, and she's been playing really well. This is going to be from the Angel City game here, so this might sting a little bit as well. But we're going to look at a few saves here and just in general kind of part of her game.
But that's such a solid hand.
Well, and I think this is the sort of stuff, like, even this play here is great. Like, you like this moment, you're not – you might see something similar to this in TST, but, like, the positioning Burger has to take this and how she has to think about, like, the bill. Like, everything's just bigger. Like, this can get whipped in on back post above her. Like, she can't get set in too low here. So even just this first save here, I think this is a great example. Like, you put Burger into TST, like, I don't know if she plays even average. Like, I think she might struggle there, but that's not – where her game is like
no this- but you put like a you yeah exactly it's their point like that's it doesn't translate it doesn't necessarily mean because I think we both agree that she is right now probably playing the best goalkeeper in the NWSL right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
In such a short period. She's legit. She is the full package on full field in front of a full goal. Really nothing bad to say about Berger. Yeah. I mean, look at that hand. But I don't know if that translates to small sided.
No, I don't think it does. I think the wherewithal to play things through that, like
that's unlucky.
This one, and again, this is something like you might.
Well, see I mean, you could say. I would say this. Like, if I wanted to get really technical, and it's hard sometimes when you know a goalkeeper's playing real well and something like this happens. But the bottom line is, don't follow the player, follow the ball here and stuff like that. And she's drifting near post because she thinks the ball is going to get headed by LaRue. It's missed. Her player's dragging LaRue that way. She comes totally up in her stance, and by the time she realizes that she's pulled herself out of the position and the ball didn't touch anybody, she can't go back the other direction. So that's a goalkeeping error. Right? It really is, because follow the ball, you know, but she does so many other things well that I'm not mad at her.
I'll say this. I think if you run this play against every goalkeeper in NWSL, I think more struggle with it and more give up the goal than save it. So error for me, like, I can see it, but I think I'm with you that she's definitely following the players too many, but like, or too much, but her feet, like, she doesn't really ever get set. You can see, like, from her dive. Like,
and there's really no reason for her to follow the players here. She's got a – Sid is marked up. Sid is actually really never going to flick that ball on near post. And if she does, Berger should be able to cover that. So basically, just get yourself set and see where the ball goes. And she's not. She's still moving near post. This is a goalkeeper error.
Well, and to hammer this point home, like, what – you could see some moments like this in TST – but like, the thing, part of the problem that this play offers is that this is a slow ball. And so it's a little bit of a trick for a goalkeeper to think, oh, there's no way I can get score back post. Like, that's an easy thought for a keeper to get in their head. They can think, oh, I'm just going to go near post because that's where the quick shot is. But now this slow ball, I mean, that's not even fast. But it's something that's like, on a smaller setting, you're going to struggle. But here, you know, that's a tough play, but I think it says something about Berger's game that if that's what it takes to beat her, like, you know, I think she could do better, but like, if it
gets 9 out of 10 times, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And you can see on this play here too, like, she's where she wants to be, you know, not the most difficult play, but
no, I like, she's a little on her heels and everything, but this is where you say it's a kick save, and it's in tight. It's a good strike by Thompson. And is Thompson, it's a good strike by Thompson. Make the save with your foot. That's fine. You know, yeah.
I will say, I do like that. And sometimes you get a little lucky with this sort of stuff, but the rebound, I mean, gets sailed out. You see sometimes on this sort of stuff, like, they make a great first save,
but it just drops right to the top of this penalty spot. Yeah.
So I think I'll give her some credit. You never really know with this sort of stuff, but there's a way to push and parry even with your foot where a ball covers distance and gets.
I don't think she tried to do that.
I see. I feel. Like,
see. Yeah. I think you're giving her too much.
No, maybe lean out a little bit and like give it that lift. And so I mean, maybe I'm.
I think you're giving her too much here. There's no way. I think it's no way.
It's a good save.
That's fair.
That's fair. I think it's the last two here, and all these will be a little bit familiar. You know, this is a little clunky. But I think she kind of knows where she wants to be. And at the very least, she can kind of figure out, okay, well, I've made the mistake here. What do I need to do now? And she kind of gets back to where she wants to get. It's not really clean, obviously, on the movement and the rebound kind of.
No, and I think Thompson gets unlucky here, to be honest with you. I mean, look, Berger does the right thing. What do I always say? I always say, don't follow one mistake by another. The mistake here is coming, pulling herself out of position, right? So she takes this step. That's the mistake. That's a mistake, right? If you're not going to get it, then immediately drop in with your depth. But instead of staying out or still trying to go and make the save, which you see a lot of goalkeepers do, even though they'll be like, oh, I'm late, I'm off, she gives herself some depth so she's in somewhat of a position. And it puts it, this is, that's the only reason she's there to make that save, is because she does make up for it that way. Thompson's got to do, you know, better on that, head the ball down, it's a goal. Hit it left or right, it's a goal. She headed right into the gut. But at the same time, right there, she gives herself a chance to make the save.
Well, and I definitely think, I mean, this is one that Thompson's probably kicking herself about. She knows, like, if I just put that, like, a foot or two to the either side, you know, she's scoring that. But I think it goes to show, it's like, if you put yourself in the right spot as a keeper, even if, like, your footwork's not great and, like, the decision
good things
beforehand,
happen.
You know, like, yeah, you give yourself a chance. If you double down on mistakes, like, I'm not saying it never worked.
No, good things happen. But like I said, you made the one mistake.
Yeah.
This is why Berger's another level. And I can take 10 other goalkeepers in the NWSL that would have continued on and tried to get to this ball.
Yeah.
And said, okay, I'm coming off late. Let me keep going. And then they would have had the whole miss, the debacle, been out of the game, and that would have been an open header into an open net. And instead, Berger said, darn, I shouldn't have come, or I'm coming late. Let me at least get myself into position in some kind of depth to see what happens. Yeah. So I give her hats off on making up for the mistake on this one.
Yeah, those 10 other goalkeepers, they'd be running into their own player. And then
absolutely.
Then the classic, like, why are you hitting? They're both looking at each other like, why are we running into each other? But they're mad at
each other. They're coming up. They're not holding on to the ball. I bring up Nair's corner kick. I'm going to bring that up. Like, you know, like she's coming out. She doesn't. Why? Like, it's just a mess. Like, you know,
I'll pull that clip for next week. We'll pull and then last one for this play. This was a 2-1 win for Gotham. And, you know, this is the sort of stuff that, like, I feel
see,
like
that's TST.
That's TST for sure. And I think this is kind of a product of, like, it's easy to start adding a narrative on this stuff. I think if you watch this play in isolation, you're like, okay, yeah, I got, you know, it's a little lucky. But when you're making saves, you're feeling good. Like, it's easy to say, like, oh, you know, they're impossible to beat. You know, well, you know, there's all these crazy narratives that come up. So I don't know what's all to take from this, but, you know, she's makes a save, and
tell you what to take from that. This is when a goalkeeper's dialed in to me, right? Yeah. When you're dialed in and you're seeing that ball, that shot the whole way. Now there's a little bit of a deflection here, but you're so dialed in that your eyes are on that ball. You can change your body shape and get whatever you can get to it. And that's being like, you have a lot of goalkeepers that would have thrown themselves far post and never been in a position to make the save. She has the wherewithal to still start leaning far post, because she is. She's leaning across her body. But then you see the lean on the right foot. Now it gets deflected. But she's like, I can still catch my body and still make a save. I think I would say 9 out of 10 goalkeepers are flying to that far post right now. And that gets, and it's like, oh, well, it was deflected. You know, nothing so-and-so could do about it. Guess what? There is something you could do about it, because it was just done.
Well, this is that level of complexity that, like, it's tough to get without game time, without, you know, she sees this, and part of her, whether she's actively or subconsciously thinking it, like, you see enough of these situations that, you know, like, hey, something could happen before the ball gets to me, you know, after the shot. Like, it can easily get deflected. I don't know. I've seen this a lot this year as well, where these defenders, like, they
make, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
There's a line of defenders between the ball and the goalkeeper. And it's like, I don't, like, why are there 2-3 defenders in a line? Like,
yes, you've got, whatchamacallit, yes, last minute pressing the shot, but this should be pressure cover balance. So why is, and by the way, this has nothing to do with offsides, because if this is the worst offside traps ever, if you look at it. So that has nothing to do with it. There has to be more of a commitment. Like, and the distance of the defense right now from the shot. But that being said, she recognizes that this, like you said, could go anywhere because I have so many defenders in front of me.
Yeah. Which at some point you're like, please just get out of the way.
Get the hell out of the way. Yeah.
Let me do my job. Well, some stats I wanted to throw at you here from Berger's time. So she's played 8 games.
Is great, because I actually have to call Berger on Wednesday.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so eight games under her belt with this.
So email me the stats.
Okay. has yet to lose. 6 wins, 2 ties, but Gotham's only averaging 1.5 goals a game. So as a goalkeeper, you know, if you kind of know at a certain point,
it's like, it's not Kansas City.
Yeah, we're not scoring a ton of goals. Like, if I give up 1 goal, like, that might be it. Like, we don't have a lot of wiggle room here. So she's given up 4 goals in 8 games. So she's obviously done very well for herself, and team defense has done well. But there is a bit of pressure. And I think as a goalkeeper, when you know, hey, like, I can't really afford to have mistakes, you know, that's a real litmus test of, like, hey, can you take that weight and that responsibility and play with that? And I think sometimes you see goalkeepers, they think, you know, I can't give up 1 mistake. Like, you know, it's impossible task. It's like, well, it's not impossible. It's tough, but, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know if I ever thought that way as a goalkeeper. Like, I also played for the U.S., but I can't. Well, I played for Rutgers. And so it was never, I don't think I ever went in with the mentality of, I have to, like, I can't. But it was, you knew you influenced the game. Like I knew every game, how I played influenced the game. But I never went in with the mentality like, oh, I can't give up a single goal because we can't score. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I thought about it that way. I just thought that I'm important to this game. Like, I think when you play, like I said, okay, here's an example. Kansas City, right? Okay. Like, no problem scoring. And French knows that you let up a goal, the odds are we're gonna score three. You know what I mean? Like, that's the truth. You know, we just saw it. So it's like, and you don't ever want to go into a game thinking that as a goalkeeper, because I think then you're not on your guard and you're not playing the best you can. But that, you know, it is a fact.
No, yeah. And I think
Her mistakes don't look as bad. Like, no. I love AD. I think she's an awesome goalkeeper. She said great things for the country. But I think if you got AD on the show right now, I said, what'd you do wrong on this goal, this near post goal? She started her block too early. She's 6 yards away from the player. What are you doing a block? Stand up, be big, catch the ball. I guarantee you, if she stood up, posted up, and just reached out and caught, she would have caught that ball. Instead, she tries to do a case save from 7 yards, 6 yards away, and it goes under her arm. I'm like, it's the wrong technique in the situation. Sorry, we're not showing the highlight right now, but nobody can see it anyway because we're on the podcast. So, so it's the wrong technique.
Yeah. But I guess my thought is, like, the keepers that can handle the pressure of, like, hey, you've got maybe one mistake this game, if not zero, those keepers kind of get put into a separate pile. Like, hey, you're a little special that you can play with that pressure. You can do well, but I think you see it all the time and it happens at every level. And I think you see at the club level a lot where these young goalkeepers, they've played for, yeah, I don't. There's a lot of good clubs. But.
Well, you can take a Nair, for example, and on a positive with Nair is talk about, like, you know, Chicago struggled last year, struggled at the beginning of the season. Of course, now they've hit their stride, and a lot of people before the World Cup were like, "Dude, Nair is just bleeding goals. Like, is she the best goalkeeper for us?" And at the time, she was. You know, and you might be bleeding goals in Chicago, but you know. Look at what she did for the U.S. I mean, we got out in the round of 16 without getting scored on, basically. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. You know?
No, and that sort of, like, ability to even make a mistake in how you respond to it. I mean, you kind of hit on a little bit with TST. Like, you've got to be able to bounce back on that stuff. And that, I think that's something.
Because you're going to get scored on.
That's something I wish I would tell young goalkeepers. It's like, look, the game was made for you specifically to fail. Like, no one wants a 0-0 game except for you and your parents. Like, everyone else wants to see goals. And so you've got to be able to think, okay, like,
I'm surprised they haven't made the goal bigger at this point.
And so that sort of stuff, it's like, okay, like, how can you play with that? But if you get so absorbed with the technical, tactical, and you can't handle that mental pressure of, like, man, like, I've been sitting for 80 minutes, this game 0-0. Oh no, here's a breakaway. Like, that sort of stuff. Like, you know, when you see a keeper that can do it, I feel like it's one of those things that if you know what you're looking for, it's the brightest thing. You can't miss it. But I think
can see, like, a Berger in that situation. She's like, okay, I got scored on. Do you know what I mean? And you still step back up and you make some great saves. Jane Campbell does the same thing. Nair does too. Nair makes mistakes and she turns around and, you know, saves three PKs and scores a PK. Like, do you know what I mean? The ability to have that wherewithal to put things out of your mind, which we tell goalkeepers all the time, you got to move on. Move on from it. Because if you dwell in it, you know, you're going to get scored on more and you got to make more mistakes. And that is another type of goalkeeper. That is the next level. That is what sets you aside. You know, I don't need to see, as a goalkeeper, guys out there, the goalkeeper coach, I don't need to see you punching the ground. I don't need to see you stomping around. Yeah. We all know you made a mistake. You know you made a mistake. And letting us know you made a mistake is not getting us anywhere.
Yeah. I think it's tough to believe it at first, but to really be able to make a mistake and be able to just kind of stand up and be like, okay, I'm moving on. That's what your teammates want to see. Like, they don't want to see you, like, throwing a fit and, you know, because you see that and you're like, oh, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, it equated to this. If I saw Mia Hamm throwing a temper tantrum after she missed a shot, am I going to play her the ball again right away? No. Right? Yeah. But if I see her get up, dust it off, run back and make another great run in the box, I'm like, okay, she's over it.
Yeah.
Easier to get over missed shots, apparently, than missed, you know, bad goals. But
yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's the truth. Yeah.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
Well, I wanted to finish with some movement from some players. Now, some of these names, there's probably a difference in prestige or familiarity with some people. But so three names I thought was interesting just because of, I think, what we can compare it to in the U.S. So you've got Sandra Pagnos, who played at Barcelona. She just finished up her contract, was with the national team for Spain, had 54 caps. You know, I haven't done enough digging personally, but she and 14 other players end up stepping out of the national team pool and said, hey, we don't like the conditions here. We don't agree with what's going on. And I think, you know, there's some more depth there.
Yeah, and let's call a spade a spade. And then they go and they win the World Cup, and then the coach is an idiot, and then he gets fired, and now he's banned from FIFA, and they were right to begin with. So we'll just let that all simmer.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, well, you can look back and be like, well, I guess they weren't wrong. But also, it's weird to see so many players step out and then them still win the World Cup. And that's kind of crazy in itself. But needless to say, you know, was a very, very good goalkeeper. I think right now no one really knows kind of where she's at because she hasn't played this year. She ended up losing not only her starting spot in Spain, but also at Barcelona to the same keeper, Cata Cole. Good goalkeeper, but I think at one point people were saying Pagnos is probably a top 10 keeper in the world. Very, very good goalkeeper. Now, we don't know. Ellie Roebuck is leaving Man City, going to Barcelona. But then also you have another English keeper, Hannah Poulter, who just finished her freshman year at USC, is seemingly heading back to England, and we'll see about that. So, you know, it's all these – it's a bit of a domino effect with what's going on.
Wait, Hannah
Poulter. It's just English goalkeeper, USC, just finished her freshman year. Didn't play a ton, five games.
I remember her. I remember being part of her.
Yeah.
Part of her recruiting process. I remember Hannah.
I'll give a short story.
Yeah, we won't even get into my like month at USC.
I'll one up here. So we had Hannah.
Mike's like, don't burn bridges.
Gloves off to a certain extent.
Hey, I got to coach with Amy and I got to coach Corey Bethune for a little bit and stuff like that. So
But we had Hannah on campus at GW when I was coaching there and had a good visit. And somewhere along the visit, I think towards the tail end, we asked her, like, hey, you've come over to the States here to, you know, see your campus. Like, where else are you looking? And she's like, well, we're going to go out to USC. And right as she said that, we're like, we're out of the running. Like, there's no chance that she's going to come here if you're looking at USC. And so
it was kind of like, Virginia, Southern California.
It was like, all right, well, it was kind of flattering that we knew, we were in the running with USC, but at the same time, it's like, that doesn't really do you anything.
Yeah, but she only stayed there a year.
Well, and so that's kind of the thing that I want to talk about, where she does a year at USC. And I don't think anyone would really look at that and say it was super successful. She played five games. She didn't gain her starting spot after the 3-2 loss to Utah Valley, which is like as a team below USC's level. You know, she's linked to Tottenham, Everton, West Ham, which is kind of mid-low table for England over there. And, you know, it's interesting to me at 19, going on 20 now, that she's basically, I think, the equivalent for people to understand like what she's going to be doing. Imagine if you took USC and put them in the NWSL. They might pick up a game here or there, but like, you know, you're going to get rolled a bit. Like, you know, they might be off some shocks. And like, she's going to be able to make a similar jump. But in the college game, if you end up sticking around, like, you know, you play the same level every year. It's the same level. It gets a little bit better each year, but not a ton. It's pretty similar. But I think it's interesting for England's young goalkeepers. There's a bit of a fast track of like, okay, hey, you know, theoretically, maybe she goes to Tottenham for 2-3 years and then she makes another jump. Right. Whereas here, well,
it's here, it's totally different. Here, it's what is she stays at USC for 4. Where does she go from them? You're playing the same, you know, well, now it's the Big Ten, but you're playing, right? Yeah. So now it's the Big Ten. So you're playing against good stuff. Maybe you go into the NWSL draft. Are you going to get drafted if you've been playing that much, if you haven't been playing? Or are you going to go back to Europe? Are you going to go play pro for Tottenham or for Everton or something like that? Be picked up by one of the bigger teams or move on to like France or Spain or something like that. So that college system as a pathway is dwindling.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Well, and imagine like, you know, let's say she stays at USC, fast forward 3-4 years and, you know, she finishes her undergrad or whatever. And she still doesn't have any pro experience, but the fact that she's going to go play Tottenham, which is like maybe even a step down from USC as far as like those two clubs, right. But Tottenham's playing higher teams. And so now she's getting this pro experience. She's going to get shelled by Man City and lose like 5-0, 6-0. Like, you know, she's going to have this experience, mm-hmm. which like, now fast forward in 3-4 years, it's like, well, like kind of open certain doors. So I, you know, we'll see. And that's part of the reason why I really, really want the Super League, the USL Super League to do well so that we can have a bit of that
a building pathway. That,
you know, yeah. And there's
something which is to why it. I've said there needs to be some sort of a symbiosis between and whether the USL ends up connecting with, you know, in England with their league. And it's some sort of, I think that it's stupid if there isn't some sort of a connection between the NWSL and the USL, you know, because I'm telling you that with so many pro leagues, with being able to go out, leave college early, go play pro in Europe, doing everything like that, we're going to see more and more top college players doing that. We're going to see, instead of riding it through and trying to win an NCAA championship and stuff like that, and how many players are actually being pulled into the NWSL from the NCAAs, and how well are they doing? You know, are they getting replaced by players that went and played in Europe and are coming home? And we're going to start to see that.
Yeah. When I, you know, you look at like a player like Paños, who, you know, we don't know where she's going yet. She may retire, or she may move on to coaching. She may find another club. I would not be surprised at all if she came to NWSL. We've got Berger as well. Like, it's really tough for these American goalkeepers to do anything in the league. You know, you may be one of the few, and Anderson's a good example. Like, you get a little bit of a leash, but like, we can't mess around too much if it's not clicking. Like, it's highly competitive. They're going to move on quick, but it's not there. And so it's, you know, you've got to have.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I know you train your players to sell them. That's a hard reality of it as well. You know, so if Boston comes in, if the next team is Denver or whatever the next team are that come into the league, or, you know, is that something you look to sell an Anderson to? You know, I thought Brittany would be sold, but Brittany ended up retiring. I mean, so, you know, is that something where Fallon comes back and starts for like Boston or something like, but the truth is if teams are starting to clue in and going overseas to get European goalkeepers, that's because they're playing everybody. That's because they're playing and you're not, and we're going to see it more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure from Poulter's point of view, like, I'm going to guess it's tough being that far away from home. You know, that's completely understandable.
Oh, suck it up.
But I'll say this. I'll say this.
I played in Japan. Whatever. It's a day away from home. Okay.
That's fair. I'm just thinking, yeah, like, yes, you could say, oh, she's just going back to England and that's easy and that's comfortable. And I'm sure that's part of the, you know, like, it is comfortable. It's a country she knows, right? Mm-hmm. However, she's being put on this track where she's getting serious minutes. And yeah, she's also going to play against lower clubs from cup games and whatnot that doesn't do anything. But you're going to have these big moments of, you know, it's we're not talking about a spring game when, like, you know, a USC would scrimmage, you know, Angels, something like that. You know, like that, even though they don't mean anything, right? It's a spring game, whatever. You may not even have enough players to have a full bench. So
it's true. You know,
it's a real pathway to see. It's exciting to see for like other countries. I'm jealous of it because we have too much of an attrition rate coming out of college. And
Well, and I think that, but I think that you can flip that. And the reason that the U.S. has been so successful, and I will be the devil, is because we had the college system. And when other countries didn't have anything, and then you, now they started from nothing and started their pros, and they fast-tracked, and they have their academies, and they have their lower tiers and stuff like that. But the reason we were so strong is because everybody was playing in college. And the Mia Hamms and the Julie Foudies and all of them were playing against each other at Stanford, at UNC, at Rutgers, at this, at that, at the other, at George Mason, wherever, you know. And so, you know, that was our academy in a sense, while you're getting a good education as well. It's okay, we'll throw that out there. but that was it. And so now you're fighting against other leagues and doing it the European way. And that is gonna lean out the college game. Yeah. But you gotta give the college, hats off to the college game, because they're the reason that U.S. soccer has been so good for so long.
I think it was perfect for from day one, 1980 or so. It was perfect then, but now you're seeing
it's not working.
You've got a 3-month season versus Polter. Right. I'll just stay with her. She's gonna be training, playing 9 months out of the year. If you're not gonna have any sort of adjustment, so I'm willing to give the credit to the college system for what it was, because it was way ahead of what the world had.
And you have to remember who came here to play in colleges too. Serena Wegman played for UNC. Players came here to get an education that were some of the best players around the world, and to play in that system, because there was nothing for them to play in their countries.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it was a real you got to go here if you want to keep playing. I think for a while,
but now right. Now you realize, and you're just like, hey, it's 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'd love to see some sort of tweaks on some of that, but that's another discussion for another time.
It's soccer U. Let's make them play all year round.
If they're
employees now.
I mean, the whole landscape's definitely gonna change. But I think when you look back on the men's side, 10 years ago, so many MLS teams were really afraid to offer homegrown contracts, because they knew, hey, if we do that, that burns their college eligibility, that burns their chance to get a free scholarship. And they just weren't really willing to do that. But what they figured out, amongst other things, is there's a lot of kids that are more than happy to say, hey, well, I don't really want to do the education stuff. I'm not looking to get the degree. I want to go play. I want to go do this. And
yeah, my favorite is I'll go back.
Okay. It's not going anywhere.
University of Phoenix online.
Yeah.
You'll go back.
Yeah.
Some do.
Hats
off, because I look at a Ronnie Fair and people like that, who's one of the best orthopedic cancer surgeons in the country for not orthopedic, children's cancers. And she went back, she played pro with me. I mean, look, overachiever. Yes. She went to Stanford and then she came out and played pro, and then she went back and now is a surgeon. That's a lot, but she did it. So you can do it.
Absolutely. I always tell people hey, look, the schools aren't going anywhere, but also the degree doesn't decay. So maybe you want to stick around for your degree and get it. I understand that, but you can go play for a bit and you still got.
Yeah, your window's a lot shorter than your education window is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bottom line. Yeah.
So, I would love to see, I think with, just to put a cap on this, with Panios, it's tough because I know she's a good goalkeeper. Would love to see her end up at a good place. Would love to see her play in the U.S., but every time we bring in, and Berger's another good example, it's I know this is good level, it's good for the league, but part of me is I'd love to see someone else get that shot, that we could make our depth pool a little bit more serious. Because remember last time we recorded, we were struggling to get to number 5 on the depth chart, which is kind of crazy to think about. But so I go back and forth on this stuff, but I think at the end of the day, if you're bringing in better players.
But the bottom line is, it's not about for a pro team. It's not about filling your depth chart for the national team. It's about business. It's about money. And it's about winning games and winning championships. And the national team's a second thought. Sorry, it is. So, if I can bring in a Panios, or if I can bring in a Berger that is going to win me an NWSL championship, I'm not worrying about developing an American goalkeeper.
Well, you're absolutely right. And you start thinking, okay, well, let's start developing for the national team. You end up just dropping the ceiling of the league of we're just going to use Americans. you know, it's the same argument whenever on the men's side people complain about guys coming over from Spain, England, whatever, and coming into college, and there's all these internationals now. In my head, I'm like, that's the competition. Like, if you can't be better than the competition, like, what does that say about you? Like, I don't.
So you want to play because you want the competition level to be less, so you're better. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So you will always be mediocre then.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, you know, let's lower the level of the water so I can wade in the pool. I don't want to learn how to swim.
That's a good analogy. Yeah. So I think, like, really probably the solution for everything is, like, the expansion. You know, it's easy for me to say it needs to go faster. I don't know all the nuts and bolts of that, but I think you've got to have enough spots for people to get in. If you're losing players because there's not enough spots and there's still talent there, like, that's a problem. But at the same time, like, you don't want to start putting artificial barriers to, like, make things worse. And the spending is another good example. Like, you don't want to put too low or too high of a salary cap because, for obvious reasons, it's got to be flourishing. It's got to be growing. It's got to be moving in the right direction. But, that's something for smarter people. Well, no, it's good. It's good. Good. Getting back on with you, Saskia.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry last week, but we'll get it rolling here, and hopefully you'll be a little bit more stationary in these next few weeks here.
I am. We'll be back on next week for sure.
Yeah.
And the week after.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. For sure. We're good to go.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Well, good deal.
I'm sure I'll have a lot to say next week. So I got two games.
You know what? You know what?
I don't get to call Berger. I'm actually excited because I haven't called a New York Gotham game yet. So I'm doing Gotham against San Diego on the world feed. So Wednesday night, I'm actually excited to call that because I haven't called. I've called San Diego, but I haven't called that, and I'm excited to watch, like, it more in depth and get to call one of Berger's games.
No, that's awesome. Let's do this. You're gonna circle back on Berger what you saw that hasn't maybe quite been discussed in detail, but also I'm gonna specifically go find more errors for this week.
I can tell you a couple games. I'm promising
everyone, like, we're gonna go over some bad mistakes next week. So,
My favorite part. Everybody hates me. It's fine. No, just kidding. I don't tell any. Remember out there, everybody. I don't tell any goalkeeper anything they don't already know.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
I always love using the phrase, "They're gonna want that one back," because I feel like everyone knows, like, they want another chance at that. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you can follow us on Instagram, the Union Goalkeeper, all these things down here below. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I've never gone on TikTok. I don't know really what goes on there.
Goalkeeper app on Facebook, the Union GK, and we're available. You can download us on from the Apple Store and from
Google Play.
Thank you. Thank God Mike's here. I got a lot. I've done so much today, but my mind is blowing up right now, and I have to go prep. So yeah.
This is why we have Magid here. He's
yeah. There he is.
Yeah, wonderful.
Awesome. All right. I'll see you next week.
Hey, we'll see you all next week. Take care.
All right. Bye.